Hi, welcome to another edition of Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, product manager in the Windows Phone team. I'm here today with Peter Tor. Peter Tor is a program manager in Windows Phone working on the developer platform. We had Peter on quite a while ago talking a little bit about background agents. I don't know if you remember that or not, but today we're talking specifically about Windows Phone 8. If you watched any of our build conference, which this will air after, you will have seen a lot about Windows Phone 8. But if you're new to Windows Phone development, or if you're an existing Windows Phone 7 developer, we were thinking there might be a little bit of orientation that could help with thinking about how to write applications and games for Windows Phone 8. So I had Peter here today. So Peter, you worked on the API review process for Windows Phone. What does that entail?
Yeah, that's correct. I ran the Windows Phone API review board for Windows Phone 8, which basically meant that every API that came into the system went through a review process to make sure that it is consistent with the rest of our APIs. It follows our design guidelines around things like asynchronous operations. And it feels like a natural API to fit into the rest of the API surface area. And also, for a lot of cases, making sure it aligns with what Windows 8 is doing. And you'll see that today.
So, Peter, what is Windows Phone 8? I know it's probably obvious to folks. It's a new version of Windows Phone, but...
So Windows Phone 8 is kind of the next evolution of the Windows Phone platform. We've taken what we had in Windows Phone 7.5, and we've done a lot of work, actually, mostly under the covers for Windows Phone 8. But I want to talk about kind of three layers of change in Windows Phone 8. At the top layer, at the kind of the shell and the UI and the application layer, we obviously have a new start screen, more customizable with different tile sizes and so on. And Microsoft has updated its set of built-in applications, and of course there'll be new third-party applications coming out as well. Below that, we have the developer platform layer, which we'll talk about today. We've made some changes there, some alignment with Windows, a bunch of new frameworks and so on. And then underneath that, we have this new shared core with Windows Desktop, where we share the same kernel and the same drivers and a lot of the core services and infrastructure across both the desktop, the tablet, and the phone.
We talked a lot about shared core all the way back in June when we first announced Windows Phone 8. It's really a huge undertaking on our part. So a lot of the major subsystems and so forth were swapped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is it such a big deal for folks?
Well, it's a big deal actually across all those three layers I just talked about as well. So if you think about going back up the stack, if you think about it, the core where we're now sharing code, we're sharing drivers, we're sharing services with Windows Desktop. That means two things. Firstly, it means that because there's only one set of code, if somebody fixes a bug or somebody improves performance or somebody adds a feature, not just Microsoft, but our hardware partners with their drivers and so on, that accrues to both platforms, right? So we're getting more bug fixes, more features faster. And the second thing it means is because we don't have two teams working on the file system or two teams working on the drivers, we can now add features faster as well because now we have more resources to free up to do cool things. So kind of at the core, we've got the accrued benefits of everybody working on the same thing, plus more features.
Right.
Now, if we look up the stack, that kind of accrues to the developer platform as well, where, again, there are basically two main advantages. First one, because all the features are running faster, you'll get more features faster in your developer platform, which means apps can take advantage of new things, do cool new scenarios, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And the other really key benefit that we'll talk about today is that because we've got this shared core, and we've got the shared services, and the shared some shared API layer, it means that your code, which runs on the phone, can also run on the desktop and the tablet. Right? So you don't have to write the app twice. You write it once, it writes, and a lot of it will run in both places. And then that accrues, of course, to the top layer, the applications layer, where consumers will start to see more diverse hardware, they'll start to see more applications, and they'll start to see experiences shared across the phone, the desktop, and the tablet.
So we had a user experience alignment, though. When Windows 8 was announced, it adopted a look and feel for end users that was very similar to the look and feel on the phone prior to that. But now what we're talking about here is a shifting out of the underlying infrastructure. All of the underlying infrastructure is now the same.
Yep.
It can be kind of confusing for folks, I think, to talk about writing your application once, though, and having it run on both, because obviously, the whole API layer is not identical because we had to focus on things like compatibility.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also, of course, the UI form factors are different. So
sure.
Even if you'd share the core of your app, the UI layer might be quite different. But to get to your point, if we look at the priorities that we had in building Windows Phone 8 for the developer platform,
definitely.
It was very clear that our top priority was back compat. So we wanted those 100,000 plus marketplace applications that existed in Windows Phone Mango, bring them into the Windows Phone 8 store and have them work on devices. So that was our top priority. The next priority after that, which we'll talk about today, was actually native gaming. So, there's been XNA gaming on the phone in mm-hmm. the past, but a lot of the top titles are written in native code, and they use, OpenGL or Direct3D and stuff like that.
A lot of the game studios are really big porting houses that just build common class libraries and bring their stuff from platform to platform to platform.
Exactly. A lot of things like Unity, where there's these big middleware frameworks where people write on top of, we're bringing a lot of those frameworks into Windows Phone as well. So native code development specifically for games was our second priority. And then our third priority was obviously this convergence with Windows Phone, the shared core with Windows Phone.
Desktop.
Shared core with Windows. So back compat, then native gaming, and then shared code with Windows.
So we don't have everything.
Correct. We don't have everything right now. Okay. We started with the core stuff you needed, things like memory and threading and file system and DirectX and stuff like that. But some of the more higher layer levels we don't have right now.
Right. Let's talk about app compat a little bit, though. We've talked about Windows Phone being 8 being designed to run all the existing apps, but every major subsystem changed. How did we accomplish that, and what does it really mean? There are going to be issues, right, in some cases.
Yeah, so we did change, obviously, the shared core. We changed the kernel. We changed the core CLR. We changed
from NetCF to
core CLR.
Right.
And we changed everything in between, as you said.
Which were two different versions of the .NET framework that forked from each other many years ago. Right?
Yeah, we had the .NET Compact framework, and then we went to the core CLR. And so we've changed all these subsystems underneath. And the good news is that in Windows Phone 7.5, you couldn't actually touch any of those areas, right? Mm. We had the .NET layer above. So we've managed to keep all the churn underneath invisible for the most part. And we did a ton of testing with marketplace applications, a ton of our own internal testing, finding out places where all this shifting out of the old and in with the new might have caused compatibility issues. And we fixed a ton of those, and we feel very good about our compatibility story with existing applications. But that said, we couldn't test absolutely everything in every single application in the marketplace. So there may be, you may find some things that won't work exactly the same across 8 and 7.5.
Even if we shimmed every single API delta, there's still order of execution problems that could potentially happen.
Correct, yes. The surface error, the binary surface error is the same. So if you called out method foo before, you're still calling method foo, and we might be able to change some behavioral things there. But there are some things, like you said, the order of events that are very unpredictable in the system that may end up affecting certain applications. And those are the kind of things where we just couldn't test absolutely everything.
But the great news is the new Windows Phone SDK version 8 allows you to build for both 7 and for 8. You can start a new 7 project, or you can load your existing 7 project and still compile it as a 7 project.
Yep.
And then test it against the 8 emulators.
Yeah, so you can do that. And one thing you'll do is, the first thing you should do actually is take your existing 7.5 project, put it in the new tools, and don't try to upgrade it. Just build it, put it on the emulator, and see if it works. And if there are any potential issues there, like it should be a low rate of issues, but if there are any issues there, you might want to address those quickly and then update your 7.5 application in the marketplace so that if you're not ready with your new 8.0 version when consumers start buying phones, they don't get a broken version of your old app. So the first thing you should do is make sure that your 7.5 app works great in the 8.0 emulator. Then what you can do is you can take your project and upgrade it to 8. And that unlocks a whole bunch of new features, a whole bunch of new scenarios. But also, when you upgrade to 8, because we then undo all of the quirking we did, all of those back compat quirks we did, you may find that your application behaves a little bit differently after you've upgraded. So then there might be another round of fix-up that you have to do to be more compliant with the 8.0 runtime.
Once you compile as an 8.0 app. And our new store now allows you to actually submit and maintain both a 7.0 version and an 8.0 version.
Yes, you can keep both versions separate and languages separate and stuff like that. So you can keep servicing your 7.5 version, even adding features if you want for the customers that you have on that code base, and then have an 8.0 app which may use the same code base as 7.5 with new features, or it might be a completely new, written from scratch version. Mm-hmm. But if you submit them to the marketplace as the same application, then if the user bought it on 7.5, they get it on 8, they don't pay again, stuff like that.
Right. I mean, there are reasons why you may still want to work on your 7 application today, because 8 devices are brand new. They may not even be available just yet as of the airing of this video. And so that means that as a developer, if you want to target the largest possible potential audience, you still want to write for 7. And you can now test against 8. So you can make sure that your application works great for both 7 and 8. The new SDK ships with both set of emulators. The other thing is that we also have enable you now to add a little bit of 8 functionality to your 7 app to operate conditionally if it's running on an 8 device.
Yeah, so this is...
Tell us a little bit about that.
So this is something that certain people did when we went from 7.0 to 7.5 as well. We added some new live tile functionality. And so people would use Reflection to detect at runtime. If I'm running on a 7.0 app, if I'm running on a 7.5 device, at runtime I'll dynamically load and create the new types for updating live tiles. And there are some other functionality people use as well. That technique also works going from 7.5 to 8.0. So if you have a 7.5 application and you want to add some specific features that were only in 8, mm-hmm. and it's what we call light up, you can use the same techniques to light up when running on Windows Phone.
There's 8. Only a few of them. There's in-app purchase I know about for sure.
In-app purchase is one of them. Actually, a lot of the new service area would be available, but you have to be very, very careful because you're using Reflection, and so you get no compiler support for typos and stuff like that. This should only be used for publicly documented features. It should never be used to try and poke into undocumented features, because that's actually one of the areas where applications break. So we mentioned that not every app in the marketplace would necessarily work in 8. Some of those cases are where people went and discovered undocumented features and poked around with them using Reflection. And because they were undocumented, we didn't necessarily bring them forward, and then the applications break. So that's always a bad idea to use undocumented features.
Reflection can be kind of a performance-impacting process too, right?
So yes, yeah. Reflection is also, as you said, can have performance implications. There are some ways around that. For example, if you build your 8.0 functionality into a separate project, and it compiles directly against all the real types, and so using compile time binding.
Two separate solutions.
Exactly. And then you define an interface between this 8.0 app and the 7.5 app. The 7.5 app loads this code and talks to it through the interface, which mm-hmm. you can also early bind against.
Basically writing your own DLL that you...
Exactly, yeah.
An 8.0 DLL that you're adding as content to your 7.0 project.
Yeah.
And so then you don't have to worry about the fact that your types won't be validated in the 7.0 project because you've done it in an 8.0 project.
Yep, and by using this interface and talking across, you end up pretty much using always early binding and never Reflection, except for the initial load of the assembly.
Right.
But that can be a bit arduous. If you're just calling one or two APIs and it's not performance critical, mm-hmm. it may be easier just in your 7.5 project to just use Reflection to load the type and call a few members.
Right. Well, let's step back up a little bit, though. Mm-hmm. We announced a lot of new features for developers in this release. Why don't you tell us just a high level? Obviously, we have a lot of build sessions. We'll link to those here because they're all available online at this point. I know speech, NFC, native development in general.
In that middle layer of the developer platform, there are a ton of things. I doubt I can cover them all.
No, please don't. But we wanted to make sure people know this is a huge release from a developer perspective, from an infrastructure perspective, from an end user perspective.
Yeah. So certainly, you mentioned some big ones like our speech API, speech recognition, and speech synthesis is a huge thing. And
available
voice commands
for third parties.
Yes, available for all store apps, including voice commands. So now from the start menu, you can hold down the start button and just talk to an app and launch and give it commands.
Requires that the target phone be online though, right?
Actually, voice commands don't require online. That's all local.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
If we're talking like this,
dictation,
that requires a network connection.
Okay.
But commands follow a specific grammar and don't actually need to be online. So speech is a big one. I think you mentioned NFC and Bluetooth proximity is a big one. So now you can talk from phones to devices. You can talk phone to phone, phone to PC or Slate. A lot of great scenarios there. We have a new mapping platform, courtesy of Nokia. Includes a mapping control plus a bunch of location services.
Offline maps.
Offline maps, yes.
3D maps, too.
Yeah, 3D offline maps, which is a big thing. In the XAML and control area, we've done a bunch of work. We already mentioned we brought in the core CLR over NetCF, which is a bunch of benefits there. And in the XAML stack, we've added some of the old SDK controls, like the panorama and the pivot, are now actually inbox controls. big performance benefits, functionality benefits.
They're in ROM, so they're not compiled in your application anymore.
Exactly. So they're no longer in your app. They're now actually in ROM. New controls, like the we have a new viewport control for things like infinitely scrolling lists and better pinch zoom support.
Oh, I remember you wrote one of the first lists, one of the first blog posts about virtualizing your list box.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So don't really need it anymore.
You don't?
No.
Okay. You're obsoleting yourself.
I'm obsoleting. Well, I didn't write that code, but yes, we're obsoleting my blog, which is a good thing.
Yes.
So a ton of stuff in the new in the XAML stack. And of course, the big new thing you hinted on is native gaming. So now you can file a new project, all C++, D3D. All Direct3D, no managed code, just go.
And this is an area where there's an enormous amount of overlap with Windows 8.
Exactly. We've had apps taken from Windows Desktop to Windows Phone 8, some of our sample apps like Marble Maze, and it's more than 80% of the code is shared.
Enormous. That's a great benefit for folks who are writing games.
And the middleware as well. Like if you were using Unity or some other middleware provider, that ports across. So if you wrote to the middle, the Unity stack, instead of the directly to our stack, you've got even better portability.
So we've got Lenses, the new ability. Lenses, a new ability to create a camera-based application that is accessible directly from the viewfinder of the native camera.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, really cool because one of the main philosophical points of Windows Phone is giving third-party apps the ability to plug in different ways that are contextually relevant so that if an end user is using the camera, they can get right at those apps and see them, have them promoted in their face as opposed to having to go to a long list of apps.
Exactly. It's part of the design philosophy that Windows Phone isn't just an app launcher. I mean, we have a start menu, we have an app list, but yeah, if I push that hardware camera button and I decide I don't want to use the built-in camera, but I want to use, say, a panoramic camera or one of the many filter-type apps, right there on the camera there is a list to say, switch from the built-in camera to this other camera that I've installed. So I don't need to go searching for it in an app list or a folder or anything like that. It's right there in the camera. And then because of this native code access that we just talked about being added to Windows Phone, it's now much easier to write really high-performance camera applications and kind of photo processing applications. You can take that photo data and in native code start partying on it with all your C++ code and all your algorithms you may have used on other platforms.
Right.
Bring it over to the phone, have it run really fast in native code, and do real-time live preview shaders, for example.
It's an area that is certainly ripe for a tremendous amount of innovation, I think.
Exactly, yes.
So we're excited to support that. In-app purchase is another one we've been waiting for. We don't need to go in-depth on that.
You can now sell stuff.
New resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
So we did new resolutions because we know people want higher resolution phones. But I think we did it in a way that is intelligent and protects the developer from fragmentation. Because we're preserving the same aspect ratios?
So basically in Windows Phone 7 and 7.5, we had one screen resolution, which is 480 by 800, known as WideVGA. What we've done in Windows Phone 8 is we've added WideXGA, which is the same aspect ratio of 15 to 9, and we've also added a 720p, or an HD resolution, which is actually 16:9, so it's a slightly taller design. But what we've done in the application platform, specifically around the XAML application platform to make it easier for developers, is we've standardized on kind of a logical width of 480 pixels and a logical height of 800 pixels for the 215.9 devices and a logical height of 853 for the 720p devices. So across all three phones, if you're doing a XAML-based app, you have exactly the same logical layout, 480 by 800, potentially a few more pixels in 720p mode, which you can fill up with anything you want. You can leave them blank if you want. You could have a bit more content. You could stretch
a few things.
That's
funny because that is a smaller pixel screen than the WXGA screen.
It is. There's fewer pixels, but it's
but that's
taller.
The one where you get the most display area.
Because it's a different aspect ratio, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so that's for XAML apps. For native apps, obviously, you can... many native games never actually draw to the physical resolution of the device because they want the best frame rate and so on. Mm-hmm. They usually pick a smaller back buff and then just scale it up. And so games will typically do that. And for our existing 7.5 applications that didn't know about this 720p resolution, basically we take the application and we still run it at the same aspect ratio, 15:9, and there's a little bit of space at the top of the screen where nothing is drawn.
So and you can take advantage of these higher resolutions if you want to with higher quality assets
exactly,
in your application.
Yep.
But you don't have to is the key, right?
Yep.
The key is that you don't do nothing and your application will run quite well on all these different types of devices.
Yeah.
But then you can go ahead and take advantage of it.
Yeah, and you know, I've been talking about the layout, the XAML layout of 480x800, and that's at the layout level. So if I have a button and I say my button is 100 pixels wide, it's 100 logical pixels wide. So it's 100 pixels wide in the wide VGA, it's 160 pixels wide in wide XGA, and it's 150 pixels wide in 720p. And that's all transparent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have things like images or video, you can actually provide pixel-perfect resolution. So on the high-resolution device, it's not just the same image scaled up. You can actually provide the real high-res version of it, so you get really, really crisp visuals.
I'm sensing a blog post here or something. So and we have emulators for all the different resolutions included in the SDK, so you can test this out. Now, you know, we talked a little bit about WinRT. WinRT is what it was referred to back at Build last year in 2011. Now a lot of the material talks about the Windows runtime. Can you tell us a little bit about what this is? Some folks watching may not be familiar with Windows runtime, a relatively new type of concept back last year when Windows 8 announced it. It's now a new type of programming available in Windows Phone 8. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the Windows runtime is, you can think of it in two ways, and it's, the terms are used a bit interchangeably. The first is kind of as a core platform infrastructure, similar to the COM infrastructure, if anybody knows COM from the old days. It supports things like locating types and loading types, supports projecting code APIs across different languages, so C# and VB and C++, and for the desktop, JavaScript. So it supports a lot of this foundational stuff. And that's core, that's shared between Windows and Windows Phone. We don't have the JavaScript layer, but the rest is shared between Windows and Windows Phone. And then there's the Windows Phone runtime as an API service area, or as we might say, the Windows Phone runtime. And that is a set of APIs provided by the system that project up through this WinRT Windows runtime layer and provide a whole bunch of system services like file system and networking and memory and all these kind of things.
They're just very similar to class libraries in the .NET framework.
Exactly. The projections are designed to look as natural as possible to the developer. So for a C# developer, you use a WinRT object exactly the same way you would use a .NET object. There's no difference to you. If you're a C++ developer, you use it very similar to the way you'd use a C++ object. So the projections are designed to look natural.
So you have a brand new Windows Phone 8 project here on the screen. This is our panorama template. I believe he can switch to that here. You've got references there. And in the references, that's where the .NET class libraries that I was linking to would show up.
Yeah, and actually, we've actually even simplified this. So in before, if you went to references, you would see a whole bunch of managed references.
All of the assemblies.
Actually, it wasn't even all of them.
If you wanted
to do certain things, like I believe serialization, you actually had to go and find more assemblies and add them in.
Right, you did. But it was just a set that they thought you'd start with.
Exactly. But now, everything is there, .NET for Windows Phone, and this is all the Windows Phone runtime stuff.
So Windows Phone runtime versus Windows runtime, those two terms are being thrown around a little bit. Are they the same thing? Are they different things?
Well, like I said, the core, the infrastructure piece is the same.
Right.
But it's the libraries that are available to you. There's a large overlap of the common stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, threading, file system, in-app purchase, networking, a bunch of things that are all the same API service area.
Mm-hmm.
And then Windows has some things that are Windows only that we don't have on the phone. And we have some things that are phone only that aren't on Windows.
And some of those may merge up down the road, but others of them don't make sense to merge up.
Yeah, I mean, over time, we hope that middle bucket grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And each side might innovate on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And some things may never make sense on a tablet. I don't know what they are, but there are some things that may never make sense. The idea is that this shared core gets bigger over time, and all new functionality we're building will be through WinRT API. So don't expect to see big new .NET libraries coming out in the future. New stuff will be WinRT moving forward.
Got it. So if I wanted to look through this, in .NET I used to look at things in Object Browser a lot. Can I look at the WinRT stuff?
Yeah.
Windows runtime, Windows Phone runtime?
Yeah. So if you go to the Object Browser, let me just zoom in a little bit. So here we have in the object browser, it says Windows Phone SDK 8, And that is your hint.
That's the category that shows just the Windows Phone runtime?
Yeah, that's your hint that you're looking at the Windows Phone runtime. And so you'll see in here a lot of things that just say Windows dot something, and these are things that are shared with desktop Windows. So application model, store, here's where you get in-app purchases, for example, geolocation, sensors, a bunch of things in here, networking, sockets, proximity. And then we get to these ones that are Windows.phone. And these are APIs that are specific to the phone.
I see.
And so they wouldn't appear in a desktop Windows project.
And or they just don't yet, maybe.
Not yet, yes. And you know, you can see in here we have things like our some of the native capture stuff I was talking about before about lenses. Mm. We have some VoIP stuff because VoIP is a key scenario on the phone.
Right. We let people plug into our phone dialer too with VoIP apps now.
Exactly, yes. You can now appear in our dialer as if you were a built-in experience doing a VoIP app.
And a lot of speech stuff.
Yep. Speech recognition, synthesis, and voice commands are three kind of areas we touched on earlier.
System analytics, what does that do?
System analytics, this is where you get the kind of a unique ID for your device. But it's one difference actually here from between Windows Phone 7.5 and Windows Phone 8 is that in Windows Phone 7.5, every application got the same ID. So it's possible to correlate people across applications. In Windows Phone 8, it's now anonymized for the publisher.
Okay.
So if you have two apps, they correlate to the same device, but two apps from different publishers can no longer correlate to the same device.
Interesting. Well, we have app-to-app communication now, too.
Yes, actually, yes. You can. Another great feature that isn't really an API, per se.
No, it's a way of calling each app with parameters, right?
Yeah, but now you can now launch applications on the phone via a URI. So if you have an application that you want to accept incoming requests from applications, you can register for a custom scheme, also called protocol, but we use the term scheme. So you might register for Larry, colon, arguments, arguments, arguments. I might register for Peter, colon, arguments, arguments, arguments. And then apps can call each other on the phone, launch each other with these arguments. And if an application tries to launch another application via one of these schemes and it's not installed, the phone will ask you, hey, do you want to go to the store and download the app that supports that particular
scheme? Another great way we let you expose your app.
Exactly, yeah. So more discoverability for your apps. And then we get to the end of the phone, and then we're back to normal Windows stuff, which is, again, shared between us and
storage.
And
so I can use the new file async storage
type storage file, storage file, storage folder, async stuff there.
Because you've got the new async await model in Windows 8 that we're picking up here.
So that's a quick look at the object browser for Windows Phone 8 SDK. And then if I go here and I pick Windows Phone 8 instead, now we've got the .NET APIs that you're familiar with.
So there might be a couple cases where there's a .NET way to do something and a Windows RT way to do something.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know which one to use and when?
Good question. Basically, it's up to you to decide. And there are a couple of bits of guidance we can give you.
I hate that when I have to decide.
So I have some guidance for you, Larry.
Okay.
And for everyone watching at home. So basically, if you have an application already that's running on Windows Phone 7.5 and you want to keep supporting that and migrate it to Windows Phone 8, it's probably best to keep using the .NET APIs, right? Because they work in 7.5, and it's the minimal code change to work on 8. Mm. And they're still fully supported because of our backcompat priority. So if you have an existing app, that might be the easiest thing to do. And if you're not explicitly targeting Windows desktop just yet, mm-hmm. I would stay with the existing .NET APIs. On the other hand, if you are running a brand new application or you really want to have an app running between Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8, mm-hmm. Then WinRT is the right way to go because that's the one that will be shared across the two of them. And if you are neither and you are just, I'm running my very first app and I'm just thinking about the phone right now, I would pick whatever's easiest. Maybe take a quick look at the documentation or search online, whatever your search engine of choice or your blog of choice has sample code for, just use that and you'll be fine. You can always switch later on if you decide you want to go down one road or the other.
Okay. The last thing I wanted to ask you about was resume policy, because I know that a lot of people, there's actually been some rumors about this lately. There were some folks who were unhappy about the fact that we had this model whereby if an application was running in the background and maybe it was just paused, it wasn't terminated, if you start another instance of the application by launching it from the start menu, you don't get that previous instance. It starts a new instance. And I think a lot of people were unhappy about that because it seemed counterintuitive in some cases. What can you tell us about how that's done in 8?
So I have some good news for you. Basically, in Windows Phone 8, The default experience, again, for backwards compatibility is exactly the same thing. So if you run an app and then you switch away from it, if you use the task switcher to go back to it, you get the existing instance that was still in memory. But if you hit the start menu and then you launch the app directly from the start menu or the app list, we will actually tear down the old version of it and bring up a new one. And that was really...
Same behaviors today.
And the driving force behind that was really UI consistency. We wanted people to go to a known place in an app versus something they were doing maybe a few hours ago. But as you said, a lot of feedback said that that doesn't work for some people. So what we've done now in Windows Phone 8 is an application can opt in to what we call the resume policy. And that means if you run an app and it's sitting in the back stack somewhere and it's still in memory, and you run it again from the start menu or the app list or other places, we will take that existing process, bring it to the foreground, and we'll unfreeze it. And by default, we will actually preserve, we'll actually bring back that initial user experience. So we talked about the consistency of
the default behaviors as it is today.
Yes. So there's actually code in the default templates which will take all your pages on your application backstack and essentially remove them and go back to the first page so that the user sees the first page as they're expecting, but they get it much faster because we're reusing processes. Now, if you've already opted into resume because you had to opt in the manifest, and if you don't like the default behavior of removing everything from the backstack and putting you back at the first page, you can also change that. It's just code in our default template. So we didn't force that on you. So now people can even decide if it makes sense to go where they
exact
were.
Exact same state.
Or somewhere new. Maybe remove the backstack, maybe not. So it's up to developers now to be in control of what their app experience is like.
Wow, more control for the developer. I like that. Although sometimes, with great power comes great responsibility, they
yes.
say. But it's also kind of confusing for folks to know what to do sometimes. So we'll need to provide guidance on this, and hopefully we'll have you back in the future to do that.
Maybe. But the templates do the right thing from our guidance point of view, which is navigate to the first logical page in the app and then clear everything from the back stack. So if the user launches you and then hits back, they quit the app just as if it would run for the first time.
Well, this is an enormous, we're almost out of time. This is an enormous new release. And, really appreciate you taking the time to come by and help us with an orientation to how to get used to what's new in Windows Phone and how to determine what it is you need to do to take the most advantage of it in your applications. For Inside Windows Phone, this is Larry Lieberman here with Peter Tor, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. Thanks for having me.